From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on This Day in Maine, Tuesday, May 13th, 2025. Maine Attorney General Aaron Fry has joined two multi-state lawsuits against the Trump administration for placing immigration enforcement requirements on federal funding issued by the Transportation and Homeland Security Departments. Ari Snyder has more.
The lawsuits argue that the administration overstepped its authority in demanding that all recipients of federal funding from the two departments cooperate with federal immigration enforcement. In the suit against the Department of Transportation, the states say Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy cited no legal statute when he issued a letter last month adding immigration enforcement as a condition to receiving federal funding awards. They say the Department of Homeland Security also offered no legal backing for its new terms and conditions that impose a similar requirement, calling the department's actions a, quote, funding hostage scheme. The states argued that the administration's efforts to impose the conditions violate the spending clause of the U.S. Constitution, which grants Congress the power to control spending. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
The Franklin County Detention Center in Farmington is seeing a sharp increase this year in the number of people arrested by Border Patrol. According to online booking logs, the jail has held around 70 people for Border Patrol so far this year, compared to roughly 10 during all of 2024. Jail Administrator Hart Daly says the jail can typically accept only a few people at a time from the agency.
Depending upon our staffing at the time and our general population will dictate how many we take.
Daly says by law, the jail can hold people for Border Patrol for up to 48 hours. He says the jail is drafting a memorandum of understanding with the agency to clarify the policy. An administrator at Two Bridges Regional Jail in West Cassett says that facility also holds people for Border Patrol on a short-term basis, but did not say how many people in total it's held so far this year. A Superior Court justice has ruled that despite a pending appeal, hearings will proceed for the release of criminal defendants who have been without a state-appointed attorney for more than 2 weeks. It's the latest development in a long-running legal dispute over Maine's indigent defense system. The state of Maine had sought to delay hearings pending its appeal of a ruling issued in March to the state Supreme Court. But Kennebec County Justice Michaela Murphy ruled last week that she will not wait to schedule individual hearings. Zach Hyden is chief counsel for the ACLU of Maine, which first filed the lawsuit challenging the state's handling of these cases more than 2 years ago.
Since we won this case, there has been some significant progress, and the government is to be commended for that. But there are still too many people locked up in jail or being denied the right to counsel.
Murphy says that as of April 25th, there were 49 defendants in custody without counsel. The Maine Supreme Judicial Court has yet to schedule oral arguments on the state's appeal. Grocery inflation cooled across Maine in April, as it did in the country as a whole. Erwin Gratz has more on this story.
Our basket of grocery items fell 3.5% in April. That ended 2 months of increases and left our grocery price index just below where it was when University of Southern Maine students began collecting the data in January. Egg prices declined, as they did nationally. Overall, our basket of groceries, which would have cost $61.59 back in January, cost $61.10 last month. Other areas we're watching: heating oil down 3% from January levels as heating season ends, and statewide rents were also down slightly. Erwin Gratz, Maine Public Radio News.
And you can review the data at mainepublic.org/prices. A proposal by Maine Democrats to designate January 6, 2021 as, quote, a day to remember sparked heated debate in the Maine House today. As Kevin Miller reports, the debate illustrates how Democrats and Republicans have starkly different perceptions of the day that a mob of President Trump supporters attacked the U.S. Capitol.
Democratic Representative Raphael Macias of Topsom says he remembers feelings of dread come over him as he watched images of rioters breaking into the Capitol. A Navy veteran, Macias sponsored the bill to designate January 6th as a day to remember. And he didn't mince words, as he warned against what he sees as attempts to erase or rewrite that history during the second Trump administration.
I'm so glad it will be remembered for what it was, a rebuffed coup attempt that was completed 4 years later. We should write down how it really happened, or else it will be remembered how they want our descendants to believe it.
But House Republicans countered with a much different take on those events. Representative Barbara Bagshaw of Windham attended the Stop the Steal rally in D.C. that day to hear from President Trump as he railed against what he falsely claimed was a rigged election. She then joined the mass of rallygoers who marched toward the building at Trump's urging, but says she didn't enter the Capitol or participate in any violence.
I went to hear a speech. I walked down to the Capitol, and there was a police officer in riot gear standing on the building, waving an American flag, saying, "Come on in, this is our house. Come on in, this is our house." They were trying to incite violence.
Bagshaw didn't stop there, however, as she suggested to her House colleagues that someone else was behind the violence that day.
There were weapons put out on the steps. There were pitchforks. People were trying to cause violence. These were not the Trump supporters that were there.
The very notion, as was expressed earlier, that the police officers of the United States Capitol Police provoked their own attack is just more evidence to me that facts matter and that they should be remembered.
Representative Mark Malin is a bit of a Democrat who said he was disgusted by some of the comments he was hearing from Republicans. Malin said Trump won a free and fair election in 2024, just like Joe Biden did in 2020.
The indisputable fact was that people rioted and attacked the United States Capitol on January 26, 2021 because they couldn't accept the fact that Donald Trump lost and Joe Biden won.
Assistant Republican leader Katrina Smith of Palermo echoed Trump's words as she accused the Biden administration and the FBI of engaging in a witch hunt against more than 1,500 people who were ultimately convicted of participating in the Capitol riots. She and Bagshaw also said those people were imprisoned and convicted without due process, despite the years of court proceedings. As tempers rose between the partisan caucuses, House Minority Leader Representative Billy Bob Falkingham of Winter Harbor took to the floor to state the obvious. The heated debate wasn't changing any minds in the chamber.
I would just encourage the members in here to end this debate, take it to social media, take it outside, take it wherever you need to take it, to go with this, but we're not convincing each other in here, Mr. Speaker.
The House ultimately voted largely along party lines, 75-64, to approve the bill designating January 6th, 2021, as a day to remember. The bill now goes to the Senate for consideration. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
The Maine Charter School Commission voted 5-2 today to approve the application of a school that would serve new Mainers and multilingual learners. Moxie Public Schools plans to open in the fall of next year, serve grades 6 through 12 in the greater Portland area, and require that students earn college credentials or workforce certifications upon graduation. Commission member James Handy voted against the application, raising concerns over a lack of diverse funding sources.
The proposal relies heavily on large grants from out-of-state institutions. For me, a mix that includes local funding is imperative.
Moxie Public School officials will be required to show that the commission has achieved certain benchmarks before it can open. It was a lucky break for the team that won the first overall pick in the 2025 National Basketball Association draft last night. And as Maddie Smith reports, the team is expected to use it to draft Newport, Maine native and basketball phenom Cooper Flagg.
The number one pick in the 2025 NBA draft goes to the Dallas Mavericks.
The Mavericks, who had just a 1.8% chance to receive the first pick, had never won the draft lottery until Monday night, and they're expected to select Duke's standout player, Cooper Flagg. Flagg has remained the projected number one overall draft pick since he graduated high school as the country's top college prospect. At Duke, he averaged 19 points a game and was voted the NCAA Player of the Year. When asked how he felt about the prospect of joining the Mavericks immediately after the lottery concluded, Flagg said he was trying to stay in the moment.
For me, I didn't try and think about it too much. I feel like it was just kind of out of my control. So I'm just kind of going through the process like everybody else and just trying to enjoy every single moment because we only get to do this once.
The league's draft isn't until June 25th. But the lottery established the order of the first 14 picks. The 14 teams in contention for the first-round overall pick were those with the worst records in the league last season. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, Pulitzer Prize-winning author Richard Russo. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.